Hello, everyone, to our POP listeners. Welcome to another episode of Presenting Our Presence. As you know, Presenting Our Presence is a podcast that celebrates Indigenous folks here at the U of A and all of the unique and diverse and amazing ways that we contribute to life here at the University of Alberta. POP is co-hosted by myself and Dr. Florence Glanfield and Kyle Napier, who helps with our technology and all the magic behind the scenes. Today, we're happy to have Debbie Feist, our colleague, joining us for this episode of POP. Welcome, Debbie, and thank you so much for accepting our invitation to be with us today.
Thanks, Cindy. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
So, you know, when I met you at our POP gathering, I was so excited to first meet you because I had only known you, I think, either through Zoom or through the U of A website. And to know that you were there, part of Library Services and Sciences, providing this role for how many years, did you say?
Well, I've been in my current role for almost, oh gosh, like a couple years here, coming up in September, but I've been with the library officially since September of 2010. So yeah, going on 13 years this fall and somehow involved in library land here. Yeah.
Wow. Well, tell us a little bit more of yourself in a way that's meaningful to you and your work in library land.
Sure. Yeah. I'm really happy to be a librarian here at the University of Alberta. And so I guess I definitely see myself number one as a librarian, and I'll get to talk a lot about that, and you and our listeners are going to hear a lot about libraries and what we're doing. My current role, my title is Head Faculty Engagement with Natural and Applied Sciences. So what that means is that I get to work with an amazing team of librarians that serve and support the college natural and applied sciences and the faculties within. So that would be engineering, sciences, ALES. And so it's quite exciting. And I would say also that I had worked for over a decade serving and supporting the faculty of education in a variety of ways. So I got to work actually quite closely with Florence and get to know her, which has been really an amazing experience too. But that switch over from education into, like, you know, sciences, natural and applied sciences, and learning more about that, it's been really interesting. And I guess I can sort of let my inner geek out as well when I get to attend, you know, things related to sciences, engineering, et cetera. It's been exciting. Yeah. So I would also say that I'm a proud member of the Red River Métis, and I'm originally from Winnipeg, Treaty One territory, but I've made Edmonton my home for, oh my goodness, for over 25 years. So I did move to Edmonton in the fall of 1996 to go to graduate school at the School of Library and Information Studies here at the university. And there's a limited number of places in Canada that people can go to get the degree to become like a professional librarian, and University of Alberta has one of those schools. So I ended up moving here and then just not moving back. So I've made Edmonton my home for going on almost 30 years. So it's quite amazing. Yeah.
That's incredible. When I think about, I was thinking about our conversation today, I was like, library sciences. I know I get excited when I go into a library, but there's a whole world behind libraries that enacts, makes libraries, and thinking about library as a science and as a professional career as well. And you wouldn't think about that always when you're just walking into a library. Can you take us in the back rooms of what what are the characteristics or the skill sets you learn in this career of library sciences?
Absolutely. Librarianship has been a fantastic career, and I really would say it's the people that really make it. And and not just librarianship, but all of my colleagues that work amongst us within the library, both those like frontline services people that you would see and all my colleagues that work in those public facing, and then all of the background people that work there too. So, but as far as like characteristics and things like that, I would say the people that I get to work with, the most interesting thing is I'd say most of them have a really interesting backstory or how they got into libraries. So, excuse me, libraries are not often people's first career choice, and they often kind of fall into it through a variety of means. You know, you meet somebody, or you really like research, or you like helping people and you like learning about interesting things, or, you know, you enjoy trivia, who knows what. So, yeah, I would say by even going back to my years spent, you know, a couple years in grad school, it was such an interesting mix of people that I went to school with and then that I got to be in a career with as well. So, yeah, there's all kinds of people that work in libraries, and libraries can have very, like I mentioned, public facing staff that you see, you know, those smiley, happy people and friendly people that are helping you. That work and have such in-depth knowledge in a variety of areas. And then you also have all of those people behind the scenes, like you mentioned, that are working on description, what we call metadata, so information about our collections, working to get actual materials, whether that be physical or digital materials, that work to provide access electronically and physically to our collections, that maintain our spaces and make plans for new spaces, administrative people that work with, of course, library staff, but also other, you know, colleagues across the system, whether it be facilities or with the academics. Of course, the librarians that I work most closely with, and that my experience in the past has been really interesting work with usually departments and faculties. So for example, you know, engineering has multiple departments within that. And so librarians are associated with those areas, and they get to work one-on-one with faculty members, students, grad students, and really learn a lot about the discipline in the field. So yeah, it's been a really interesting career choice. And again, if anyone ever wants to contact me or anyone else within the library system, we're very open to talking about libraries as careers. Yeah.
That's great. Well, you know, it's like I just worked on a project on a scoping review over the last 20 years. And one of the reviewers says, did you work with your library? And the librarian, I was like, no, I wouldn't have even considered that this would be one of the roles where we can access and work with library services and sciences. So good to know, right? Like, and this is what, you know, POP will be today, making visible what's possible. And also when it comes to Indigenous specific research. But before that, what you said that sometimes you just fall into this career. What was your inspiration? Like, what inspired your work in library services?
Yeah, actually, it's probably fairly common, but I was doing a degree. So my undergraduate degree is in education, and I was focusing on high school, you know, sort of level. But my real interest was in history. So I wanted to be a social studies teacher. So I was really interested in taking a lot of courses in Canadian history, and that would lead me to sort of a career potentially in sort of K-12 or upper senior high kind of teaching. And so I had taken a lot of courses with one particular professor, and this was at the University of Manitoba. And I just kept taking all these courses, and eventually there was no more courses. He was my favorite prof, and he just kind of took me aside one day and said, you know, I see your real interest in this, and you always are doing really interesting archival work for your papers, because it was like upper undergraduate levels, and maybe you should consider a career in archival studies. And I have to admit, at that point, I was completely unaware of any work in that field. Like, I had worked in archives and used them, but I hadn't considered it as a career. And I was like, interesting. So then I started looking at archives and the schooling that would be involved. And at that time, well, still now, the University of Manitoba had several courses at a graduate level related to archival management and studies, but nothing that would lead to a degree. So I started looking around, and then I thought, oh, you know, University of British Columbia has a program, and this area has a program. And then I got to talking with some people sort of in those fields, and they were saying, you know, at that time, sort of in the mid to late 90s, the job prospects weren't fabulous. And I started learning about library and information studies as well. And in terms of just the sheer numbers, I was thinking to myself, well, there's a lot more libraries than there are archives, and I would still get to work with a lot of these types of materials. So I just, bam, looked into it and decided to make libraries a career choice. And it's been fabulous ever since.
Sounds like a dynamic career to be part of, right? Because when you think about library, there's knowledge and then all the knowledge systems. And now there's this whole new movement, or growing movement, I guess, in terms of Indigenous librarianship, right? Indigenous librarianship. And that's kind of, you know, in your experience, I'd imagine that that's bringing a whole other way of thinking, or a whole way of reimagining relationship to knowledge, or even these spaces, and maybe even research itself.
Absolutely. And, you know, like you said, there's that growing field of, and it's really coming to like fruition, particularly at the University of Alberta, for our experience lately, in terms of promoting librarianship as a career amongst, you know, Indigenous colleagues or would-be students at the library school here, and also promoting librarianship as a career. So we do have several programs that focus on this. We have an internship program, and what that does is it has and it's been fantastic. We've had such great colleagues, and we currently have amazing Indigenous interns right now, Amanda and Michaela, and they work for the library while they're going to university for their two-year program in library and information studies. And it's an amazing program. And we also have an Indigenous residency program where we have a newly graduated librarian from some library schools in Canada. It oftentimes is, you know, local, that can come in and work for us as well. So we've had really great success, and so we want to build on that as well. Indigenous librarianship does focus on so many areas, in the sense where working with Indigenous and non-Indigenous colleagues, of course, and Indigenous and non-Indigenous research methodologies too, and learning about that, and the really multi and sort of interdisciplinary areas that are Indigenous-led research. And, you know, in terms of learning more about and really promoting both Indigenous ways of knowing, Indigenous research methods, traditional knowledge, and encouraging that way of sort of thinking and knowing as we work with both Indigenous but also non-Indigenous researchers, is that we find that more and more they're interested to learn that and sort of engage with it. So it's been in a real growth area, I'd say, within librarianship, particularly in, you know, what we would call Turtle Island, but also in the, say, Australia, New Zealand, and Pacific Island nations, the Indigenous librarianship is really a growth and sort of growing from those. So we're learning a lot from our colleagues in those areas about Indigenous librarianship and what that means and what it can look like.
Because when you talk about, when I hear you speak about Indigenous librarianship, I can't even say that word, librarianship. it's like, is it like a whole other way of thinking about library sciences? Is it like, what does it aim to do or disrupt or address in your experience? Because you would have seen and lived through the different changes, right? From when you started to now, this emergence of thinking about library land from a whole other perspective. I'm imagining, you know, that that's what's part of what's occurring.
Yeah, and you mentioned that word disrupt, and I would say that that would definitely be a good word to describe what a lot of myself somewhat, but also my colleagues that are Indigenous librarians, in terms of what sort of a goal end is, in the sense where disruption for like education, disruption for inclusion, and definitely the role of being an advocate of Indigenous peoples and researchers in a very traditional and academic and very sort of westernized world that we exist in sort of the academy. So bringing in just different ways of doing things, and I would say a lot of patience. So many things I find within the academic world, traditionally people want to just rush through many processes and activities because there's that end goal in mind. You know, you finish your project, you got the report, whatnot. Which, you know, I get it. We have to have a sort of a product at the end of things. But I would say an approach from sort of an Indigenous librarianship way, in terms of working with the community, working with our colleagues, is hopefully that being able to sort of slow down, let's build relationships. I often tell people, you know, it's a long game. We're working on a long game. We're working on building those relationships within the community, within our own colleagues, and somehow encouraging people to be willing to take that time to get to know each other first, you know, in a social way as well, and extend that relationship beyond just what one would traditionally think is sort of the project timeline. So that's one of the sort of concrete ways in which I see sort of a role of an Indigenous librarian within, you know, a project team or sort of a work unit within. So very specifically that, yeah.
So the approach becomes what's kind of challenging, like you said, a traditional model. Do you have like an example that you can share that kind of could help myself and our listeners to actually see through that different lens of Indigenous librarianship and how it's emerging and kind of really transforming spaces and even the approach within libraries, or as a researcher or as a student coming through? Something specific as an example, and I've got, you know, I'll let you see if you have something specific, and if not, I can throw out some examples in my own experience that have been new as a result of people like you being in the library, you know, and your interns that I've had a chance to work with. I'm like, oh, this is a whole new experience. This is opening a whole world, new world to me in working with libraries.
Yeah, well, one thing that comes to mind, being sort of a concrete thing that's actually happening, is there's a group of people on in libraries here, but also across like North America, across internationally, Canada, beyond, in the U.S., that are working on what we're calling decolonizing description. And so what that is, it's working within and being sort of, like you said, disruptive within the system, the traditional system. In this case, is that description system or metadata. So it's like how an item is described within our very traditional system. So like, for example, people think of libraries, they think of like, you know, the Dewey Decimal System, like public libraries, or in our case, within the University of Alberta and in academic world, we use something called Library of Congress. And within that, we have like a system of description called Library of Congress subjects, subject headings. And so there is a growing and sort of really vibrant movement to take that way that Indigenous peoples, their religions, their spirituality, their histories, their currency, and change that and make it very inclusive and respectful in ways that they themselves would describe themselves. So using terminology. So like a specific example is within this very, you know, historic, archaic system, traditionally they would use the term something like, let's say, you know, Cree folklore to describe like someone's spirituality or religion. And so, you know, there's a movement and to add in terminology that would be more so inclusive, like religion, spirituality, rather than folklore. Like, this isn't a folktale here. This is people's lives and the way that they see themselves. Also including terminology and different variations of that in which the community themselves would describe themselves. So, you know, different spellings and things like that of their own names, community names. But also there's sometimes harmful ways of describing, you know, traditionally Indigenous peoples. So removing the possibility for harm that can do in terms of the way that material is sort of described and how somebody might actually find materials in the, you know, library system, right? When they search for stuff, how they would actually find that, and then they themselves would feel potentially some harm. So the whole point there is respect, inclusion, and you know, harm reduction there too. So that's one specific way. And there's all kinds of people that are working on that within our library system behind the scenes. And it's a real movement, and they're having real success in terms of actually changing this Library of Congress subject headings. And, you know, Library of Congress it's a real place in Washington, D.C., and they're able to change policy. So it's like can start as something small, but it can grow and grow and grow to actually make real changes that will make Indigenous peoples feel more welcomed in our spaces, whether it's like, you know, a physical space where we can make changes, but also in a digital space too.
That's amazing. It's so interesting and fascinating to hear actually what those, something as so simple as the descriptor. So I'm imagining there's a collection, let's say someone's given a collection, or because my mind went to when I was looking for photos in Library and Archives Canada, actually, of Métis women that could be my relations that were part of 1885 during the resistance of 1885 in Batoche. And there's one photo that exists, and the sub is the descriptor is called Squaws. Mm-hmm. And so I use that photo because it's the only one, but I add my own, how I would want those women to be perceived, like how I see those women. So that derogatory term still exists in that descriptor. And so the work that is happening in terms of disrupting and transforming ways of perceiving and knowledge is those terms are being changed, is from what I'm hearing in the work.
Yeah, absolutely. And your example is a perfect example of libraries, you know, taking some action there. And it is slow going. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It is slow going, but it is happening. And even, you know, Libraries and Archives Canada does have an amazing collection. But you will find things like that. And they do have, there is a mechanism in place there for people to be able to identify those challenges, those harmful descriptors. But not only that, sometimes there's even people that say, you know, that's my great uncle. And they have ways that you can connect with them and they can add that information in if that would be appropriate. So, I'd say like things are really changing for the positive in terms of this. And there's a growing awareness about the need for Indigenous peoples to have control over the way that they and others see themselves too, as described and as viewed. Yeah.
That's exciting. That's so exciting. And also awareness that, and it seems like there's action. It's not only awareness, but there's actually concrete actions that are happening. Yeah. Within the library system, like you said, nationally and internationally. And I know in my little experience with some of the interns of your program, they helped me to see maps completely, entirely differently. So it's like they were even helping enhance my research that how I was seeing the data. In this case, I wanted to see maps from a certain period and to see when the surveys had come in and how that had disrupted kind of land base. And yeah, they brought that whole awareness in my research in terms of thinking about how to look at maps differently. So it's like there's this whole array of services that we're not always aware of that is being provided through positions like yourself and across different faculties across the U of A.
Yeah, and we're so lucky here at U of A. We have an amazing maps librarian. Larry, he does other things as well, related to maps and geospatial data, things like that. But he has really positioned himself to be an excellent knowledge keeper, so to speak, of maps and indigenous knowledges contained within. He's also a member of our libraries. We have an Indigenous initiatives team that I co-lead with my colleague, Ann Carwigan, and Larry's on that team as well, in addition to several other colleagues. And it's a fantastic, it's a very operational team. We have a lot of activities and things that we engage with students and otherwise. So, but the maps piece is a really interesting area that the library has sort of gotten into, and much to the thanks of my colleagues like Larry, absolutely, and the interns and the residents in the past who've worked with materials to digitize and make available and make more accessible as well.
Well, that's so interesting, and we're coming near our time, Debbie, and I want to, I guess, two things. It's like, how do we best find you, even to future students, right? That would be like, want to reach out to say, I'm interested, I want to explore this, or the intern. Sometimes I find, you know, I mean, we're constantly inundated by data. It's like, where do we find you? How do we connect with the team? Where do we direct future students, our listeners who might want to explore this career, who might want to reach out and be involved? Like myself as a researcher, I had no idea that we could involve you as part of our projects to do research alongside one another. So what would you suggest to our listeners, our diverse listeners, to where to reach you and what you've helped to share, make visible today?
Yeah, absolutely. We are 100% happy to meet with people one-on-one. There's a variety of folks that are members of that Indigenous Initiatives team. And you can actually, for students particularly, we're going to be starting this fall a new, we're calling it the Library Indigenous Student Engagement Group. And from our library's website, library.ualberta.ca, if you just go to the link that says about us and about our people, you can see there's a link there about our group if there's students listening that want to get involved, and that's undergraduate or graduate. And that's, I'm very excited about this initiative in terms of being able, it's going to be a really a two-way street. We won't just be having students with as an advisory group, or it's going to be very much where we provide opportunity for them as well. So that's one way. But yeah, off the library's main site, students, depending on, or faculty or whomever, we have a really great system of what we call subject librarians. And so based on their, you know, their discipline or faculty that they're in, they can just go ahead and connect with their subject librarian. And the subject librarians often do connect with members of our Indigenous Initiatives team to bring us in, ask for help. Maybe there's a faculty member who wants to sort of, you know, digitize something, or wants to go ahead and learn more about research data management or something like that. So, and, or there might be some sort of Indigenous perspective that they would like to gain. So oftentimes we'll be involved in a project or initiative, but we'll also bring in our colleagues that work in more like functional specialties. You know, I mentioned Larry and MAPS. We have other people that work specifically, you know, in collections, or that work in, you know, I mentioned it, like natural and applied sciences, but we have, you know, our friends and colleagues in education, in health sciences, all over the map in terms of subject areas within the library. So we really work, and we want to be seen as a connector that will connect people within the community together the best. So, and I would say librarians and I, in general, library staff are often those people, like someone will come in and, you know, we'll answer a question or we'll help them, and then they'll be on their way. And we're literally chasing them down as they're trying to leave and saying, you know, oh, you got to know about this. Oh, I have to tell you about this. So we just want to help. We're very much in this career to help. So by all means, if you're thinking about reaching out, please do so. We really want to establish that relationship with our faculty members, with our students. So we're really excited.
That's great. Well, thank you for coming behind the scenes. It feels like libraries behind the scenes, but it's like you've just brought it more visibly, and exciting to think we can reach out, work more closely with you. Now, it's like if you're in Faculty of Applied Sciences, what if there's a, for myself or another Métis scholar from somewhere that wants to work directly with you? Is that possible, or do we have assigned librarians that we must go to that are connected to our own specific faculties? How does that work within the your
structure? Yeah, feel free to connect with me, absolutely. And if there's other people that I feel need to be brought in, we'll just do that. Well, we collaborate. We're really one library. Yes, we have subject specialties and people that work specifically in certain areas, but by all means, we're one library. So we all just collaborate and connect with each other. And I will say one thing before we close off. I'm really excited. We are in the process right now of hiring what we're calling an Indigenous Engagement Librarian. The posting is out. It'll be out for about another month. And that person, once hired, will act in kind of more of a system-wide role and not be assigned to, you know, any specific department or anything like that, and we'll be able to really engage with the community, even extending beyond the university. So I'm really excited to see. Who knows, by the time this is out, maybe that will be in place. I'm not sure, but it's going to be, we're so excited about this. So it's a long time coming, and it's we're doing things the right way right now with it. So I'm pretty pumped.
Well, that's encouraging. It's like systemic change is occurring, and sometimes we don't always see it or know it, but it's evident in our conversation today and the work that you're doing, and it's happening in libraries. Let us know who that new person is. We'll invite them to POP so we can make them visible and their work and their passions and their inspirations as well.
Absolutely.
Yes. Is there any final thoughts or words or that you want to leave with our listeners today?
Just that I'd say I talked a lot about, you know, myself and the library system in the sense of, you know, how we're sort of, how we're trying. We're really trying. And we have a very dedicated group of people that we're sort of spreading throughout the library system and in terms of sort of our knowledge and experiences. And I would say the people that you will come to, whether it be public frontline facing or behind the scenes, we're really engaged and we're open to learning. So I think it's a great collaboration that we have open for the library. So we really are completely willing and open and wanting to learn more about all things. So yeah, come find us.
Come, let's learn together.
Yeah.
Super. Hi, merci. And thank you to all our listeners.